I don't know what it is
about the Word of God.
You can read it and pass through it, and all of a sudden the Lord just lights it. I don't know how many depths there are, but like the book of Ephesians probably has 50 to 100 different depths to it. And we're probably on level maybe 4 or 5 right now. Just the way God opens the eyes of your understanding, we're going to get into that today, to see you're who you are by what you see, by the eye of your heart. Amen? That's where you're going. Where you're going in the kingdom is determined on the light that you have in the eye of your heart. If you just receive natural things, you're going to be a natural person. Amen? If you're going to operate in the kingdom of God, you're going to have to chew the meat. Amen. Look at your neighbors. You're going to have to eat the meat of God's word. You have to eat meat in the kingdom. Amen. I want to review a little bit back into Ephesians. He took me through another pass this morning. It was just flowing through me. The time I woke up in Ephesians, it just started just flowing and I started seeing something here. I want to just review a minute. How many of you actually read Luke 3, 4, 5, and 6? Like, Luke 3, Luke 4, Luke 5, Luke 6. This is when the Holy Spirit came upon him at the age of 30. Not one recorded miracle before the age of 30 from the Lord Jesus. Not one miracle. Say not one. That means in his village, there are people, maybe friends of his, that died. Him being the Son of God, being the Word of God, carrying the next dispensation of God, he had to wait for the Father to endue him with power. He had to wait for his day to come. That's the Son of God himself. Everyone say amen. But when it came in power. I mean, when he overshadowed him, chapter 3, by the next three chapters, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, in chapter 4, he returns in the dunamis power of the Spirit. Then he publicly confirms, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he goes on to speak that publicly in Nazareth. And you know, they took him to the brow of the hill. And then he went into Capernaum after that, after he publicly confirmed his anointing. And I mean, that man, that there was a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, cast the devil out of that man. He said, what a word is this? For with exousia and dunamis power. So all the components of the gospel you see in operation immediately in the gospel's working. Say it's working. Then notice this. He has a revival at Peter's house that night in Capernaum. The whole city came to the door. He has a revival. It lasted the wee hours of the morning. Then he gets up to go pray. Say pray. Notice in three chapters how many times he prayed. Three times he wouldn't just go pray. He would go out into a wilderness or go up in a mountain and go get alone with the Father. In chapter 6, he said he prayed all night to the Father. Every time he gave out, if you notice, he went back and refilled. He knew how to refill. Amen? Because dunamis is not a one-time infusion. Amen? We must learn in the last day church not just to receive an infusion, a one-time infusion. We must learn how to go to the source. And this is what this training is about. God could pour that out on you. If you get it free and too easy, you won't know how to go back. I've seen a lot of ministries get an outpouring and they get it free, but they don't know how to sustain it. And inevitably the day comes where that anointing lifts. And when it lifts, I don't know if you have ever been around a revival situation. If they lose that, it would be better that they never had it in the first place. Because you take somebody to the elevations and the heights of God, and then all of a sudden it drops out because you don't know how or what sustains it or how it's upheld. And then everybody drops down. Usually that church splits. Completely just splits down. And I mean, if it doesn't split, there is so much darkness that happens from a result of that. It happens in revivals at the end of them. It's better not even be in that city. It's crazy because the enemy does. He comes and he never stops hammering. He never stops. So you have to not only birth, you have to sustain. The Lord knew this. He was trained to understand how to sustain. Amen. You see him, he goes out in Capernaum. He manifests the dunamis power out into the deep. He manifests the kingdom, the financial kingdom. And then he comes right back in chapter 5. And he withdraws himself in praise. And then he comes out of that and the dunamis power is present to heal again. And he raises that paraplegic from this. And what does he do in chapter 6? He goes back to the mountain and prays. You should see how many times the Lord goes and prays. We don't always see that about him, but he's always in prayer. Amen. And then by chapter 6, he's in the mountain praying. He comes back and he's filled and says the dunamis pours out of him. And he healed them all. So one of the things the Lord is bringing us to now is how to receive and getting a compass for dunamis. A lot of people don't even know what dunamis is. If you don't know what dunamis is, it's the Greek word for power. It's the word where we get dynamite. Everyone knows dynamite. All that comes from that Greek word dunamis. Every time you see the word power or virtue and many times miracles, every time it said his mighty works, it was all referring to this word dunamis. Amen? And a lot of times we don't understand the necessity for it because we get so wrapped up in doing things. And it's very easy to just to do church. Amen. It's very easy to get an anointing and just do your anointing. Amen. But what happens inevitably is your anointing comes to a ceiling. And it happens to everybody that's anointed. I don't care who they are. I don't care how good they look or how some of them know how to show it better. Some don't ever admit that they're not, you know, in a ceiling, that they're a Superman or always Superman. But the result is it's not there. You know, after a while, it's just not there. It ceilings out, but they don't know how to take the ceiling off. So inevitably, most just live under the ceiling. And they just learn to exist and operate under the ceiling. And God's working with us. Amen. But ultimately, what's going to take that ceiling off is we must have a vision, a compass, a heart. Amen. For dunamis. Without dunamis, the kingdom of God is partial. It will always be. Dunamis is a mainstay foundation of the kingdom of God. When it says it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom is not a word only. The kingdom comes with dunamis. Amen. Dunamis is a foundation ingredient of the kingdom. You cannot have kingdom without dunamis. You can't have kingdom without this word. You can't have kingdom without exousia authority. You can't have it. Amen. It just so happens that not only is it the will of God, I encourage you to get Wednesday night's teaching, by the way. If you weren't here, you should get that. Speak to the rock. Very powerful. But it just so happens that not only is it the will of God for us to be endued, say endued. Endued means when he said wait till you be endued, that means clothe. Say clothe. It actually means to sink in deeply to your clothing. Wait till you be endued, clothed in power. The Lord didn't go out with power without power. Amen. The Lord didn't go out. The disciples didn't go out without power. Right? So the last day church, he's going to come back with a church without power. No, he's going to endue us, but he wants us to believe. And just so happens, we have a chapter here. Not only is it the will of God, there are actual prayers in here, very powerful prayers to be endued with dunamis. Amen. Before we get in that, I want to take a little trip through the book of Ephesians, the way he took it through me this morning. Amen. And so he begins in chapter 1. In Ephesians, he says, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us, say predestinated us, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I have a teaching on this. You weren't just adopted as a son. You were adopted into royalty. There's a difference between adoption and adoption into royalty because the kingdom is a monarchy. Amen? We were adopted. We were adopted out of one family, even an earthly family, adopted into a spiritual family, but we were adopted into royalty. That's why he goes on to say, whereby you've been given an inheritance. Say, given an inheritance. You cannot be a royal without inheritance. The very nature of being a royal is you have an inheritance given to you. God's not going to say, oh, I adopt you as a son, but you're on your own. He doesn't do that. He's adopted us into royalty, amen, with an inheritance. All royals that are born in privilege. In this world, you may not have been born in privilege. Some people are born in privilege, some are not. But in the kingdom, everybody is born into privilege. Now, before he gets into chapter 3, he's got to get us to know. He's going to take us to sons, all the way to heirs, into fullness of ordained Christianity by the time he gets to chapter 3. He begins, you're adopted into royalty, you've been washed in the blood, you've been given an inheritance. This is all about identity. See, identity. Without identity, you cannot operate in power. And ultimately, he wants to get us to operate as heirs. And to operate as an heir in the earth, you have to have power. And it's not a power of this world, and it's not a power that we generate on our own. It's not just like, you go and do it, just do it. It's not a Nike generation. It's not a Nike kingdom, it's you do it by the power of God. You have to wait to be endued. You have to come to the place, I can't do this without it. I know I can operate in my anointing. I know I can say and do certain things, and I know I can, but I can't do the kingdom without power. And you get to the point where you know your limitation. Instead of acting like you're all that, it's better just to realize you're not all that. Instead of acting like I got it, it's better to say I want it. I want it. Because if you ever stop growing, misery sets in. Amen. Not only does he want us to have, you have to change and shift the identity that God wants you to have this. God giving you prayers to have it. God has set up systems. He showed you in the Lord had it. The disciples had it. The apostles had it. You can have it. They say, I can have it. So his first prayer, after he's dealing with identity, I love this prayer. We haven't been getting into this one as much as we get in chapter 3, but this one actually prepares you for the chapter 3 prayer. You should be praying these every day. Say every day. All right, ready? Ephesians 1, verse 17, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Somebody asked me, because how come you get so much revelation? Well, believe it or not, we spent a lot of time, even before I was in the ministry, praying for wisdom. And our first 2-3 years in the ministry was all about wisdom. We created a confessional manual. Who all has that? 7 Pillars of Wisdom. We have that somewhere. Do we still have copies of that? We had the 7 Pillars of Wisdom, and all we would do is just confess that. Every day. We were doing that all the time. And all of a sudden, this mantle, anointing comes on, and we start understanding mysteries. Amen? He's wanting to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Say, spirit of wisdom, revelation. You're going to need it to operate in the kingdom. Cannot operate in the kingdom in your own strength and your own understanding. The kingdom must be taught by the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom that's invisible, that's made and brought into light by the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It says that your eyes of your understanding, and it really NIV says the eyes of your heart. Say eyes of the heart. Eyes of your heart be flooded with light. Say flooded with light. That you may know. That word know, believe it or not, is see. It means to see, that you may see. The eyes of your heart be flooded with light that you may see. And he wants you to see 3 things in this prayer. 3 things. Say 3 things. And you're already looking at them on the notes. I can see it right now. I got about 20% listening to me, and the rest of you are already reading my notes out. I'm not giving y'all notes anymore. The 3 things. He wants you to see from a kingdom perspective the hope of his calling to you, in you, and through you. He wants you to know, not just, oh, well, you know, I'm going to come to church and sit on a pew. He wants you to understand the hope of who you are. He wants you to know the hope and the magnitude of who his calling in you. You've been adopted into royalty. He has this calling. The enemy wants to make you and keep you the natural person you are. Keep operating in my system. Do things the world's way. And he says, I want you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your heart be flooded with light. You may know who I've made you, the potential you have as a son and daughter of the living God. Because he's going to, by the next chapter, he's going to shift us to be heirs. Amen. He's trying to get them to understand and see, because listen, you've been given inheritance and you've been adopted into royalty. Now I want to show you who you are. Pray for the spirit of wisdom so the Holy Spirit can show you who you are, because he's going to bring us into joint heirship. And by chapter 3, he wants to ordain us. Amen. So he wants to know the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance to you, in you, and through you. You have to know these things. It's all invisible. The riches of his glory of his inheritance is all the spiritual things he's laid up for us. Have to understand that. If you don't see all that, you're not going to draw on it. You're going to draw on the natural things. Amen. Your eyes of your heart to draw on the kingdom. You have to see the kingdom. Your name, you got to see. He's got to open the eyes of the heart. Otherwise, the kingdom is just this invisible thing out there. Yeah, I'm born again. Hallelujah. And you go do your natural thing all the time. That's what's wrong with the church today, is we're too natural instead of supernatural. He wants us to shift from natural to supernatural. We can't do that without him. We can't do that without this thing called dunamis. Say dunamis. And that you may see, understand, and know the exceeding greatness of his dunamis creative power to usward. He wants you to understand the exceeding greatness of his dunamis power that he's made available to us. In us, to us, and through us who believe. Amen. He wants you to get a revelation. How do you get a revelation? You look at his son. What happened when he got dunamis? Look at the apostles. What happened when they got dunamis? Got milk? Got dunamis? What's your name? Say, got dunamis? There's a t-shirt for you. Got dunamis? Cody's doing t-shirts. Praise God. Every time I preach, he goes, oh, that's a new t-shirt. That's a new one. Got dunamis? People will ask you what that means because they don't have a clue. That'd be a great witnessing tool. You can wear it to one of these backward churches, not this one, somewhere else. Got dunamis? You need it. He wants you to know. Say, he wants you to know. He wants you to see it. The anime, the earth system just wants to keep us the way we are. Herd us into church. Doesn't mind us going to church. Just don't get in the power. See what, having a form of godliness, but denying the power? There's a lot of people of us, we don't really deny the power, we just don't know how to get it. He's trying to tell us how to get it. How do you get it? You ask. You can't ask for something you can't see that's made available to you. The first thing he wants you to know, I want you to know and to see the exceeding greatness of his dunamis creative power to usward who believe. You have to get a revelation of it before you get it. And anything, right, said, anything you're going to receive from the kingdom of God, you have to first see it with the eye of faith. Then you lay hold of it. Amen. So this prayer is to pray to see this, right? He's getting you ready for joint heirship. You have to know the hope of his calling. You have to know the riches of his glory. You have to know the exceeding greatness of his dunamis creative power. Amen? To get us ready to what? Identity as what? Sons, now heirs. Amen? Say heirs. All right, go to the second pages of notes, since half of you have already read them already. Now watch this in chapter 2. He's making the shift now. Not only you've been adopted to royalty, you've been raised together. Say, raised together. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. Say, great love. Even we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. by grace you are saved and hath raised us up. I love this verse. This is one of the first verses he gave when he was getting us into the right hand of God. He's raised us up together. Say, raised us up together, together, made us sit together, sit together. Do you know that the Lord, the Father, Holy Spirit, they're reigning in their kingdom billions of years before we came along? You know, the Lord altered his state for all of eternity, became a man, a God-man. And the Lord, when he was resurrected, God the Father had him resurrected and brought him up with a God-man suit on. And he sat him down. That's the first time a God-man was sat down on the throne at the resurrection of Christ. Before, the Lord was spirit, it was all spirit, spirit, spirit. This time, the Lord altered his state. And the Father, when he raised him from the dead, could have raised him just as a spirit, but he brought him up with his body and glorified his body. And the first God-man sat at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that awesome? The first God-man sat. God in the body of a human, glorified, sat down at his right hand. The Father's still completely spiritual, but his Son is something to behold now, because nothing like this. Heaven wasn't even prepared for this. Father hid all this. He raised him from the dead, sat him on his own right hand, but he raised him in the body of a human. The Lord didn't have a human body before. He was just the Word. It was spirit, spirit, spirit. Now the first God-man sitting at the right hand of the Father. Isn't that awesome? Preparing, by the way, for the billions and billions of sons and daughters that are going to be raised up in our bodies and sit down. Right now, we can sit down in the Spirit at the right hand of God. We are already given access, but when we get a glorified body, we're going to sit with Him as a whole brand new breed. Amen? Isn't that awesome? As the family of God, we'll all sit with Him. And our bodies will be glorified just like His body. We'll sit at His right hand. That's our estate. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? When the Father, can you imagine the Father looking at the Son? It's like, look at this. Look at what we've done. Look at what we've done. Whew. That's love right there. That's love. That's why the Lord's the mediator. He's mediating between you and the Father, and He's mediating the Father to you and you to the Father. He stands in the middle of all this. He gets the joy of introducing you to the Father and introducing the Father to you. He gets the joy of preparing you to go to the presence of the Father. He gets the joy of revealing the Father to you. The Father can't wait. God had Him change His estate so God could come and dwell in you. I don't know what it is about God. He loves us so much. Even being next to us is not enough for Him. He wants to be in us. Amen? That's how close He wants to be. This is the way He is. I'm like, God, why do You love us so much? Oh, man, His mercy is incredible. Whew. He raised us up. See, He's getting identity ready for joint heirship now. You can't operate in power if you don't know who you are. Amen? You can't operate in power without two major things. Ready for this? Here's deep call to deep. You can't operate in power without power. Whoa! 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 That's deep. You can't operate in power without power. But there's a lot of people trying to operate in power without power. They're trying to do the Holy Spirit thing. I can lay hands and do all this, but it doesn't show up because they don't have it yet. Instead of just surrendering and getting hungry for it, they act like they've got it. Putting on a show wherever they go. But they end up don't have it. Trying to make people look like they have it. I remember this one preacher was preaching on miracles and everything, and he goes, I got this. This is for you. And I'm thinking, you ain't got it. And everybody's going, amen. But I'm like, he doesn't have it. You can just tell. You can tell if they're just They might have a little bit of anointing here and a little bit of anointing there, but they ain't got what they're preaching yet. Hey, it's understandable. Just admit it. Be better off if you just admit it and go after it, amen? Instead of acting like you got it. What's problem is everybody's acting like they got it. They're not going to get it. Because they're satisfied with the persona that they put in front of people. They've already created that image in front of everybody as they've got it. So they can't go admitting they don't have it. Hello. 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 Instead of just humble yourself and get hungry. Say humble and hungry. We need some humility and we need to get hungry. Amen. Well, it just so happens the visions come to the place where we can't do without it now. That's a good place to be. That's called dependency. Because they're still depending on you. You're not hungry enough yet. You get hungry enough for the result of the kingdom is not going to come without it. You have to have identity, though. To operate in power, we have to have identity. That's why he says he's raised us up. He's made us sit together. See, what he's getting us ready for chapter 3. He's made us sit together. Say, I sit together. Said, I'm adopted in the royalty. I have an inheritance. I pray for a spirit of revelation that I may know, see, and understand the hope, the magnitude to which he has called me. What is the riches of the glory of the inheritance? They're invisible, but they're not invisible to me and you. Amen. You know, you go to a lot of churches, those inheritances will still be invisible because they never preach them. They just preach what you can do. You know, the number one thing that's preached right now is the social gospel. You know what the social gospel is? It's relationships, marriage, family, and 30 minutes teaching. Don't preach. And you keep it all around certain scriptures and you never venture in the social scene, social gospel, you'll never hear them talking about anything like what we're talking about right here. They just don't go there. Just stay away from everything that offends. It's easier to digest and you get a whole bunch of people to show up there. But I've already been in there. I've seen some people show up there. A lot of those people, they don't have no substance. Because it doesn't breed substance. You can't just eat milk and cereal all your life and think you're going to grow. Amen? Amen! But say he's raised us up together. Made me sit together. He's getting us ready for joint heirship. He's getting us ready for chapter 3. Because there's some serious stuff up in there. There's some serious stuff. Paul was bringing a progression to being born. See, born. Adopted as royal sons. And then I want to give you a revelation of who you are. And then raise you up to be joint heirs. So then by chapter 3 we can pray. Say, we can pray. Chapter 3 is no small prayer. King James did not do any justice in the way they interpreted that prayer. Because that prayer was a prayer of commission. Of ordaining. The same Christ that was ordained in chapter 3. Paul was wanting Christ in them to be ordained the same way. Oh, you didn't hear that. All right, let's go to chapter 3. Oh, look at verse 10, by the way. He's getting ready. Look at verse 10 in chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before, say God the Father, has ordained. Say ordained. 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 Commissioned that we should walk in these good works. That is not human works. That's kingdom works. For kingdom works, you have to have what? Power. Say, power. He's ordained us to walk in it. Everyone say, I have been ordained. You have to understand the identity when you're asking for what we're about to start asking for. The Father said, do you understand what you're asking for? I said, I don't know, Father. Do I understand what I'm asking for? Because he shifted. He goes, I need you to understand what you're praying for dunamis. It's far greater than what you think it is. When you're praying for this kind of dunamis, it's the kind of dunamis that changes the world. Amen. Amen. I said, we need it. We need it. Are you worthy of it? Yes. Why are you worthy? Because you've been adopted into royalty. Because you've been made an heir. Because you sit at the right hand of God. And whether you believe it or not, all of that is yours. Amen? There's a reason why he took us 7 years down the right hand of God. Identity, 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 identity. There's a reason why he brought us up into the Father to be loved. There's a reason why he jerked that orphan spirit out and laid the foundations of the Father's love in us. There's a reason! Because he's getting ready to endue. Say endue. Overshadow. Infuse. With full gospel. All right, look at chapter 3. Listen, I don't care how young you are or how old you are. This prayer is yours. Listen to me. Our young people are in here. Our youth are in here. If you'll pray this prayer, oh my goodness. I took Carson all the time in football. I said, listen, we're praying for dunamis. I texted him. I said, pray for dunamis. And him and I started praying. And he went from second string. Now he's first string. In football. Ephesians 3. Now we're getting ready to pray now. Everyone say, we're praying Ephesians 3 from the Ephesians 2 position. And what position is that? Having been raised together, made to sit together in heavenly places as joint heirs. We ask for Ephesians 3, not as orphan spirit dysfunctional people. We're asking for Ephesians 3 dunamis power as joint heirs. See the progression? See how it ramps from being sons adopted to joint heirs. Now that we have the position as joint heirs, he's getting ready to ordain us now. You've been ordained to good works. Ephesians 3 is the prayer of ordainment. Did you hear that? It is the prayer to be commissioned. Oh, I'm like, God, why did I see this 20 years ago? He said, you weren't ready. There's a reason why God doesn't give us power too soon. Amen. You know what he does? He sends his word. And then the word tries us. Amen. And the word breaks us. And then the word molds us. And the word makes us. And when the word has us ready, the word presents us to the Father. And say, we're ready now for power. Because that's what's going to get the job done. Amen. We don't really need another golden tongue, silver tongued orator in the body of Christ. We need power. I heard Daniel Kalinda say this, and he's Reinhard Bonnke's protege. He goes around the nations. He said, he goes, listen, I heard him on television the other night, and he'll preach to a million people all the time, and they'll see signs, miracles, and wonders over there, but he knows he doesn't see it over here. He goes, we need power. There's one thing in America we must have is power. And I'm gonna say, go get my teaching. We need power. Say power. It's all consolidated in this prayer here, chapter 3. The consolidation is just incredible. How he summarizes everything he's been saying in chapter 1 through 3. Here's what he did. He brought me through these three chapters this morning. Like, do you see what you're praying for? I said, yes, yes, yes. Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you what? According to the riches of his glory. Which ones are those? The ones you were praying for a revelation for in chapter 1. That you may know the riches of the glory of inheritance. That one you were praying for in chapter 1, now according to what you understand and been the light you've been given, let's pray now into that. Amen? And out from the riches of his glory come what? Dunamis.
Dunamis.
According to the riches of glory to be. Now, just move off of that and go down to that paragraph prayer. Down there, it does it more justice. It should sound like this. Father, I ask to grant me according to the inexhaustible supply of the riches of glory that is in the name of Jesus, to be strengthened, empowered, overshadowed, and infused with the fullness of creative dunamis power, dunamis virtue, dunamis life, and dunamis provision, administrated by the Holy Spirit into my inner man, that Christ the Anointed would dwell in my heart by faith. Woo! Amen. That's pretty good stuff. That's really how that verse should have been interpreted right there. That's Holy Ghost interpretation right there. When they say strengthened, empowered with might, the word might is dunamis, but they didn't put near enough emphasis on what he was saying. Why? Because of the next verse. That you may be strengthened with the might by his Spirit, by the overshadowing of his Spirit. Overshadowing what? Your inner man. What did happen when the Lord went into Jordan? Remember? And John said, I'm the one that needs to be baptized with you. And he said, no, you have to fulfill all righteousness because I'm carrying the Adamic race. And I have to bury that. And what I'm about to do, I'm going to do at the cross. I'm going to go into the belly of hell. But I have to do this in order for my Father to put his anointing on me. When I go under, that is my death. There is no turning back. Once I go under, once you put me under that water, John, once I get buried, I commit to the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and I will not turn back. Because the Father can't put that anointing on me if I don't commit to it right now. Because he had not paid the price for it. You know that everything he walked in before the cross, he did not pay the price for until the cross. Do you know that? Hello. How did the Father do that? The Jordan. As soon as John baptized him into his own death, he buried the old man. He buried the entire Adamic race right there. When he came up as the new creation, every new created believer would come up just like him. That was the death, burial, and resurrection right there. He had to do it right there. And once he did it, he could not turn back. And when he come up out, that was his resurrection. The Father, Holy Ghost, sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost descended upon him. The Father spoke audibly. Listen, the Father does not speak audibly very often. He spoke audibly. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And everyone heard it around there. They heard the Father speak. He ordained him right there. And it was right there the power of the Spirit of God came on him. He went into the wilderness to be tempted. And when he come up out of the wilderness, dunamis power of the Holy Ghost was upon him. And you had Luke 4, 5, 6, bam, 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 bam. I mean, every day with the Lord is like 20 years of ministry for us. Just one day in the Lord's ministry. What he could do with the Spirit of God on him and the dunamis power that's resting upon him. He ordained him. Christ was ordained. Now you have to understand what they're praying for here in chapter 3. It says, did you, Father, you grant me according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus to be overshadowed with all creative dunamis power, in the same way your Holy Spirit overshadowed Christ himself, but you're overshadowing my inner man, that Christ, you know that word Christ? It's Christos, Christ the Anointed. Say Christ the Anointed. Christ the Anointed would dwell, take residence in me. That's different from being born again. They're already born again. They're asking to be commissioned. They're asking for the Christ in them to be commissioned the same way he was commissioned. Do you see it? Do you see it? They were asking. Paul was saying, asking for Christ to commission the Ephesus church. The Father to commission the Ephesus church in the same way he commissioned Christ at the Jordan, commissioning the Christ in me. So when you're holding that prayer that Christ may dwell, say, dwell. that Christ may take residence. That I be what? I told you there's two great things to operating in power. The one is power. The other one is love. Love and power. Say love and power. That I be rooted and grounded in love, able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth of the love of Christ, and know the love of Christ that surpasseth knowledge, that what I might be filled, say filled with all, say all the fullness of God, returned in the power of the Spirit. When you're praying this prayer, you are praying for Christ in you to be ordained the same way He was ordained at the Jordan. Isn't that awesome? For the Father, so if the Father doesn't answer your prayer day one, know that you're praying for something very large here. This is what the Lord said. He goes, do you understand the magnitude of what you're truly praying for? Because I hold the word of the Lord He's given us, that constitution. I hold that. I said, Father, this word must be ordained. This word we've carried now over 30 years must be ordained. Some parts of this word, 30 years in my spirit. They've been in 30 years, some of this has been there. 30, say 30. That's a long time. I remember when the Lord first gave me the golden lampstand. There were seven lamps, and He was telling me, He was giving me in peace because He goes, this is the word for your life. And He said, I spoke to me a lot of my, how can a lamp of two olive trees possibly be the word for my life? He goes, well, this lamp represents seven continents. I said, the first thing, there's nine continents. Because I'm in my 20s when I'm telling him that, you know. And we didn't have internet back there where you could type that in. You didn't have internet back when they didn't have the internet, so I called the librarian. I said, could you please go look up one of your books of how many continents in the earth? Because I'm having a discussion with somebody. And they're telling me there are seven continents, and I happen to know there are nine. And the librarian goes, sir, I don't need to open a book. That librarian said, there's seven. I'm like, there are seven. Say seven. I remember that distinctly when he gave me that a long time ago. Before there was internet, that's how long we've been carrying this word. That's a long time. Yeah. That was one revelation. The lampstand was the seven. This word's going to go into all the continents of the earth before it's over. And then all of a sudden He kept building. It's got 170 pages of stuff in there. Amen. Good stuff. Praise God. Lots of stuff in the lampstand. But this lamp has to be ordained. It's not mine. It's His. Amen. It's His word in us that has to be ordained. God's got a word in you. God's got a promise in you, and He wants you to know the exceeding greatness of that promise. He wants you to know the hope to which you've been called so He can put dunamis on it. He wants you to know the magnitude of who you are and what you've been made as an heir of God, adopted in royalty, but then raised up as a joint heir. He wants you to understand the magnitude of that when you pray that the Father ordain Christ in you the same way He ordained Him. That's powerful. That's why you're going to have to stay with this prayer a little while. This is not something you won't be able to pray today and let go of tomorrow. For those of you that really want it, you're going to have to hold this and keep it and cherish it. And keep it before the Lord and say, God, this is the word of the Lord. I'm going to hold this before you until you ordain Christ in me the same way you ordained Him at Jordan. Can anybody in here pray like that? You have the boldness to pray like that. Because that's what they're asking for right there. That's the capacity and the magnitude of what they're asking for. Isn't that glorious? Oh, somebody give Him glory. Hallelujah. And along the way, He'll give us little infusions of dunamis. But ultimately, He wants to ordain. Ordain, and that's where we are. Amen? That's where we're going to be until this happens. But I believe it. Why? I can see it. If you can't see it, what I mean see it, you have to wake up seeing this stuff. You have to go to bed seeing this stuff. You have to wake up. And I mean, it has to be bone of your bone. I mean, it has to be your all in all. You have to wake up seeing it so you can possess it, because that's what faith does. Faith sees it. It sees the magnitude. Why? Your eyes been honed. Why? Because you've been flooded with light. If you don't have been flooded with light, you wake up and just go to work. Wake up, go to work. Wake up, go to work. Wake up, go to work. Wake up getting entangled in one thing after another. Entangled one thing after another. Not knowing who you are. Not knowing the magnitude. Everyone look up here. Not knowing the magnitude of what you're called to be. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.